Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 48, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 6. All ye that fear Jehovah's name, his glory tell, his praise proclaim. Ye children of his chosen race, stand ye in awe before his face. Stand ye in awe before his face. 1, 2, 4, and 6 of Psalter 48.
Thank you. congregation the portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon together. You can find recorded in the first epistle of Paul, the Apostle to the Corinthians, thereof the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first 28 verses. But first we will read the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye were saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, that and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he had put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are under him, it is manifest that he accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Thus far the reading.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, of whom and that we have heard in these moments, and that thou wast dead, but that thou art alive again, and that thou hast risen from the dead. For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But then our hope that is in thee, who does sit in this day at the right hand of thy Father, and we are gathered together in thy house once again in this afternoon hour. And thou knowest that we have in ourselves no power, and we have in ourselves no worthiness. And therefore we attempt to beseech of thee, who livest and who art sitting upon the right hand of power, and that thou may look upon us in this afternoon hour, when we are gathered around thy everlasting word and testimony. Thou knowest what frail creatures that we are, that we have to experience each one of us the consequences of our sin in this life, so that there are so many miseries and so many sicknesses and weaknesses of the body, so many sorrows and cares in this world, burdens that must be carried. And thou thyself alone art able to strengthen us under all those burdens. But oh, that thou may give us a place by thee, that we may be able to beseech of thee thy help undeservedly from our side. And then each one of us does go unto the grave. For all the rivers run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. One generation passes away, and another generation cometh. And then we think in a special way upon her, that does lie upon the brink of that great eternity. O Lord, that thou may remember her in these days, because then it cannot be long any more from the side of men. And when she has reached a very great age, and when it is now time to lay aside this life, and that she may enter into her eternal home. Oh, Lord, then what a day, what an hour, what a moment is that, when we pass out of this life into that eternal life, from which that there is no returning anymore. O Lord, if the tree that fall to the north or to the south, there it shall be. Oh, we can only beseech of thee, Lord, for her in these days, that thou may remember her when she must depart from all those whom she loves. Oh, could it please thee to remember her in these last days and to visit her with thy salvation. Oh, then it is not possible for us to reach her anymore. But Lord, thou art God, and thou art able to speak unto her soul. Oh, that thou wouldst do a wonder, and that thou may remember her in thy mercy, and strengthen her husband as he sits by her day after day and hour after hour. Oh, that thou may strengthen him also in these days for that which lies before him. And wilt thou be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And may thou remember the family together. Oh, Lord, wilt thou bind upon them in these days the seriousness of life and what it means to have a soul, and that traveling to a great and never-ending eternity. Oh, that thou would awaken each and every one of us as for that great eternity, that we may know how frail that we are, that we may be given to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Oh, that we may be given a cry while it is yet called today. Lord, that thou may instruct young and old together, and that thou may give our youth and our children to remember their Creator in the days of their youth, and that thou may look upon us when we are gathered together in thy house in this afternoon hour, that thou may give to us a little strength to bring thy word in this hour, that we may receive from thee a little word from above, and that thou may show unto us that which is necessary for thy people, that thou may give us a word in season to speak unto those that are weary, and that thou may honor and glorify thy own name, that thou may look upon all those that bring thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world. Give that thy word may have free course, and that there may be a place also in this afternoon to receive it. Wilt thou then look upon us and be with us and among us in thy mercy? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 243, stanzas 1, 7, 13, and 15. In vision to his saints God spake, from out the people one I take, a mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save, ordained, exalted, strong to save. Consistory wishes to announce that from now on there will be no catechism classes held on Family Day. Instead, we will hold classes one extra week in the spring, and that there still will be, the Lord willing, catechism class this afternoon. The following persons have appeared before the consistory with a desire to make confession of faith: Tyrone and Ashley Busicum, Marianne Brunn, Emmeline Coppolar, Clive Kreft, Carrie Nordegraff, Gerwin and Heidi van Hagenbos. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Wednesday, February the 24th. Reverend DeLeo is scheduled to preach in Picture Butte this coming Tuesday evening, and also next week Sunday he hopes to preach for us in the afternoon service, and we hope, if the Lord may give us strength, to do that then in the morning. Psalter 243, stanzas 1, 7, 13, and 15, and the last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment.
Thank you.
Beloved congregation, what was upon the head of Christ as he hung upon the cross of Calvary, that was a crown. A crown, boys and girls, that belongs to a king. But you know that that crown that was on the head of the Lord Jesus, that was made out of thorns. And thus it was a crown of mockery. And thus the Lord Jesus, he had to endure a double suffering that did not remain only with a suffering that was in his body. But they have put on him a purple robe, a reed in his hand, and they have bowed the knee and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." The chief priests, they have used it as an accusation. "Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." Pilate made it a mockery. "Behold, your king." The Jews rejected him for it. They said, "We have no king but Caesar." The Lord Jesus did not speak very much unto Pilate. He was in the judgment as a lamb that is brought before her shearers. Dumb, he opened not his mouth. But there were a few times. And one of those times had to do with his kingly office. "Art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." What is that truth? "Thou sayest that I am a king." And that is one of the most comforting doctrines and for that true church of God here below. And that which we wish, with the Lord's help, to consider for a few moments in this afternoon hour, out of Lord's Day 12 once again. Lord's Day 12, the 31st question. And the last part. Why is he called Christ, that is anointed? Answer: because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us. So far, our Lord's Day. Christ anointed by the Father to be King of his church. First, the nature of that kingly office. And second, the experience of that kingly office. Christ anointed by his Father to be King of his church. First, the nature. Second, the experience of this kingly office. "Behold your king." Why did Pilate say that? Pilate was mocking. Did the Jews feel it? Indeed, they felt it. They were embarrassed. Because a king, he is one that is mighty. And as Pilate may show his ability to rule and to govern the people, and Christ was standing in his apparent weakness, then that Jewish people, and they are ashamed of their king. And therefore they cry out, "We have no king but Caesar." There was a time that they desired to make him a king. That was when he fed the people with bread. Then they had desired that they may have such a king, that there may be among them never hunger. But we read that the Lord Jesus departed from them into a mountain himself alone. Then he had no desire for that kind of glory that man desired to give him in this world. And why not? Well, what did he say to Pilate? He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Thus, the nature of the kingdom of Christ, that is actually twofold. Because in the first place, Christ was always king, and he had an authority that belonged unto him, even the same as unto his Father. And so we read that by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Thus the word of the Lord, that is Christ himself, and the Lord, that is Jehovah the Father, the breath, that is the Holy Spirit, thus the world that is created by the triune God. And in that sense, Christ, he had that same authority that belonged unto his Father. But Christ had also a delegated authority. Thus we can read that Daniel writes that there was a kingdom that was given unto him. And if it was given unto him, that means that he did not have that kingdom before. Thus the Lord Jesus himself has said to his disciples, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And who has given him that power? That is his Father himself. So that in his mediatorial office, in his human nature, that he was given a kingdom, and that all that church of God, from the beginning of the world to the end of the world, were given unto him as subjects. This was necessary for him to fulfill that task that the Father had given unto him to perform, that he receive a position that was inferior unto his Father. So Paul writes to the Philippians, who being in the form of God, thought it not a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Thus, that humiliation that was necessary in order that Christ may receive the honor as King, and that that honor may go also, as we read, unto his Father. And then there shall come a day that the Son will also deliver up that kingdom, we read again, to his Father, for whom and in whose stead that he reigns. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifested that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. That is for us incomprehensible, but it is written in the Word of God, and so, congregation, it shall be. Art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I am a king. No matter how that it appears unto men in this world. Thus we say in the first place the nature of that kingdom. And where must we begin then with that nature? Well, then we have to speak about sovereignty. Sovereignty, that means, boys and girls, that he does everything just as he pleases, that no one can say unto him, what doest thou? What a rebel that we are against this sovereignty of God. Where did that start? That was not starting yesterday, but that has started already in paradise, because that was the very temptation that the devil has placed before our first parents, that they themselves should be as God, that they themselves should know good and evil, that they themselves will be able to say what is right and what is wrong, that they shall be sovereign. And so, congregation, it is remaining in the heart of each and every one of us by nature. Sure, we pray, thy will be done, but we do not mean it. Because as long as the will of the Lord is crossing our will, well, then I am not so ready to submit myself unto that will of God. But God is not ready to relinquish his sovereignty, and the Lord is not ready to allow any, and not his creature, to sit upon the throne wherein he himself is sitting. Thus he that fights against the sovereignty of God cannot win. Who has hardened himself against him and prospered. What a turmoil is living in the heart of man who is fighting against the will of God. There is, congregation, only one way of peace. And that peace that is in that blessed submission, that laying myself along with that will to bow under that way that the Lord leads me in my life, to fall under that blessed sovereignty of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That is one of those works of the Spirit of the Lord, to work in the heart of his children, that he may give them peace within their hearts. Though everything crosses them here in this life, when the Lord took away the two sons of Aaron, then we can read that Aaron held his peace, and they were a beloved, his bone and his flesh. And when the Lord spake against the sons of Eli, then Eli may also bow under that sovereignty of the Lord, that he may say, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. David may do so, as he must flee Jerusalem from his own son Absalom. And when the Lord is taking away everything from Job, then we can read that Job, he may submit to that blessed sovereignty and say, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. The congregation that is still not that sovereignty, that is belonging unto Christ as the mediator of his church, in his human nature, in that kingdom that God has given unto him in this world. There is not a creature in the whole world. There is not a creature in heaven. There is not a creature in hell. There is not an angel, a man, or a devil that is able come against and to cross the will of Christ. He has not only created this world, but he also is redeeming his church, a peculiar people, as we have heard something of in this morning. And it will go through, though all hell will rise against it. His suffering, the time, the manner thereof, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, that was known by himself. There were those that would hurry it on. There were those that would make him die the death of a martyr, that would throw him off the brow of a hill. But it was impossible. And so that is also in his sovereign dealings with his own church, that he is calling them, that he is leading them in his own way, and that there is none that are able to stay his hand. Art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I am a king. And what does Solomon say? He says, where the word of a king is, there is power. How is that with Christ as king? What is now that power that Christ does have? We read when he was on the earth that he had a great power over the creation, and that he used that power for the sake of his people. Then he was able to multiply the loaves. And when the storm that is raging on his disciples, then he is able to say, peace, be still. There is no disease that he was not able to cure. And so the power of the whole creation, by way of providence, and that is laying in the hand of Christ for the good, for the welfare, for the sake of his own church. But now in a very special manner, we see the power of Christ for his church over Satan himself. Thus we see that he has manifested that power when he was on the earth, that there were days in a special way that Satan did possess persons within. And Christ as a display to all the people of that time, not only, but to every nation of the world that would follow, to whom his word would come wherein it is written, that he has cast out the evil spirits, that he may show all the world that he is King of kings and that he is Lord of lords. This power of this king that was typified in King David, we read that the Lord has given to him the victory over all of his enemies. But children, you know that David, that he did face a mighty giant with a sling and a stone in his youth. And King Saul said to him, "Thou art but a youth, and he is but a man of war from his youth." And so there was a very apparent weakness that has gone to face a very apparent strength. And now this mystery, this paradox, this was only typical in that King of kings who would follow him, because we read that Christ humbled himself and he came in the form of a servant. He came as one that would be mocked. Mocked, "Behold your king," so that that people were so ashamed and so embarrassed about the weakness of their king that they cried out, "We have no king but Caesar." But now there was a very great power in that very seeming weakness of Christ. That is the very paradox of that kingly office of Christ, as he has administered that office in his human nature. Paul says, "We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness unto the Greeks. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Why? Because the foolishness of God that is wiser than men, and the weakness of God that is stronger than men. What is now stronger than that carrying out of that self-denial, as Christ has carried it out as a king here below, to deny himself for the sake of his church and that congregation even unto death? In the state of his humiliation, laying aside the use of his divine attributes, in the state of his humiliation, suffering the consequences of sin, so that he was called by man himself a sinner, appearing so, "Whom makest thou thyself?" they said to him. But he continued, though he was King of kings and Lord of lords, in that apparent weakness, only to the magnification of that strength of that king, and to the glorification of his Father, Art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I am a king. Part of that kingship that was his government. What is that? That is directing. Directing everything to a certain determinate end. That end that he did know of. Though it is hidden from his church. Governing the whole world. Defending his people. Who are not able to defend themselves. As we heard in this morning hour. A people in themselves so defenseless. But they have a king. He is not giving them all their desires. The desires of their flesh in this world, no. But he is finally bringing them unto himself. Did Jezebel have the victory over Naboth? Did the Jews have the victory over Stephen? They did not. Why not? Because he said, fear not them which can kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. But fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in death. Oh, that victory of the church by her king, that is not the apparent victory. The apparent victory that man has in this world. But it is a much greater victory. It is an eternal victory. But let us sing first. Psalter 124, verse stanzas 1, 5, and 6. My heart doth overflow. A goodly theme is mine. My eager tongue with joyful song doth praise the King divine. 1, 5, and 6 of Psalter 124.
Thank you.
thou a kingdom. Thou sayest that I am a king. And so that will be experienced in the heart and in the life of each and every one of his church that we wish to consider for a moment in our second thought, the experience of this kingly office of Christ. And we are congregation by nature our own kings. We will not bow. We want our own will. We will make our own decisions. That is what we have chosen when we were made under the law of dependence. And we have chosen that way of independence. We do not just convince one another. We do not just convince ourselves either. To bow before the King. That is not our Father's say, something that comes by moral suasion, as if man had a will that was free to come out from under that rebellion that is living in his heart by nature. No, we are born in that state of rebellion. It is rebellion against God. It is rebellion against Christ. That we say, each one of us, we will not have this man to reign over us. And now that first power of Christ, how is that now experienced in the heart of a person? That first power that is given unto him as the king of his church, as the mediator of his church. That is a power to break the rebellion that is in our hearts and to make us a willing people in the day of his power. Did you ever experience the power of this king? We read of Saul of Tarsus when he persecuted that way of the Lord, that he experienced the power of that king when he spoke out of his majesty from heaven. That was noontime. It was in the middle of the day. And there is written, there shined a great light round about that not only he saw, but the men that were with him. Thus it was a light much greater than the light of the sun that is coming from the majesty of that King of Kings. And then he has spoken one word to stop that man upon his way. And he did stop him. No, it is not always that that power is experienced in just that way. Because we can read also of other ways. Then we can read of a woman in Moab. And there she receives a husband. And then it is by way of affliction. It is a way of trial, of tribulation, a way of sorrow in the midst of this world, and that she may begin to see the vanity of all the gods of this world. Then she may have a mother-in-law that may speak to her. Oh, what a privilege. What a blessing. A mother in Israel, so that she may hear of that a God of Israel and that people of the Lord. And so that there is a holy jealousy born in her heart by the power of that King of Kings to draw her away, away from everything that she has served in this world unto the service of the Lord, that she may place herself among that people and that she may have God as her God. Oh, the power of that King of Kings to change a heart, to melt the coldness, to break that nether millstone. We see a Lydia, when she may hear that word of God, and when the Lord in one moment may speak, so that her ears go open, that she may attend unto the things that were spoken of Paul, that our heart may go open, and so that the things of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the house of the Lord, the people of the Lord, the servants of the Lord, if ye have judged me faithful to the Lord, come into my house. Oh, the power of that King of Kings, often speaking so tenderly, so sweetly, calling, Samuel, Samuel. O congregation, did you ever experience in your life anything of this power and sweetness of this King of Kings? Art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I am a king. That is the way that it is experienced, because where the word of a king is, indeed there is power. Power to incline this heart away from what is natural, away from what is evil, away from what is sinful, away from what is carnal, what is worldly, unto what is heavenly, unto what is spiritual, unto those treasures of Him who is sitting at the right hand of His Father in heaven. Art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I am a king. And then He will show the people that He has a law. That He has a law, and they will begin to love that law with all their heart. Because David, he says, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, did that king ever make you to love that word, that law of the Lord? So that we begin to grieve over the transgressions of heart, mouth, and life concerning that law of the Lord, because it is the law of the King. Then that King will make us to turn. He will draw us to willingly turn away from our sin. Draw us that we may have a desire to keep that law of God. Oh, how careful will a man not begin to be when he is under the power of this King of Kings. David, he says, I will take heed unto my ways. Is there such a people also in our midst? Young people? Are there young people? Are there children that to take heed to your ways, that cannot go where you used to go, that cannot speak as you used to speak, whose very thoughts are the burden of your heart? What is the desire of that people? That is, that they may be forgiven. Forgiven the sin against this King of Kings, that they may have his favor, and that great separation that they feel between him and their soul may be taken away, and that indeed he may become their king. Oh, and so that law that is living so close unto their heart, as a people that are not able to step over a straw. But what is now the experience of that people? Well, that is now the impossibility. The impossibility. That they say in the continuance, how should man be just with God? A church that is crying out unto the Lord, our sins rise up against us, prevailing day by day, and afraid that those sins, they will one day damn them away from that King forever and forever. A people at their wit's end concerning their reconciliation unto that King. With Jehoshaphat, they say, we have no might against that great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. Is there such a people by the hand, by the finger of that great King, by the power of that great King, that must say, neither know we what to do? But what do we read? Art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I am a king. And then as a king, he conquered every natural inclination of the natural human nature in denying himself even unto death, enduring the grief, suffering wrongfully, shame and spitting, mocking and buffeting. Like David, he said, let them curse. Why? Because God had bidden him. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They have gaped upon me with their mouth as a ravening, as a roaring lion. And he, giving himself in that seeming weakness, giving himself into their hands, and they thinking they had the victory, when they said, if he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, we will believe him. But his strength that was there to remain, to remain upon the cross as the King of Kings and as that Lord of Lords. Oh, the strength of that King, made perfect in weakness and evident on that third day, down unto death, thou leadest me, consumed by thirst and agony. But now, on that third day, that victory, so evident, from death and evil set me free. I live, for thou didst answer me. Oh, that life of that great King, which he has procured for his own church, that life that was living on the other side of death, that was laying on the other side of death for him, that was on that third day. But it is also laying on the other side of death for that church. Oh, beloved, if that people may only come now by the Spirit of the Lord into death, with every work, with every merit, with all the wisdom, with all the strength, with all the will, with all the righteousness, all to come into death with everything from my own side, lying on the other side of that death, that is life by that King of Kings. Because in the revelation of him, in the end of the life of that people, and the end of everything from their sight, which is all too short an experience to be so, for a great and never-ending eternity. Oh, in the revelation of him, there is such a perfection that it is able to give unto that people life from the dead. Oh, there is life on the other side of the death of that people. There is life on the other side of their natural death. And when they shall lay down this body of sin and death, and when then God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and when all the hosts in heaven and in the earth, and that are under the earth and those that are in the sea, they shall say, blessing, honor, glory, and power unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Oh, they shall experience a life that they have never experienced here below in this world, because they shall be free, so completely free in that place of that body of sin and death, and that place where nothing shall enter that shall defile. Art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I am a king. Why is he called Christ? That is anointed because he is ordained of God the Father, and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us in the enjoyment of the people of the Lord. In the enjoyment of that salvation, oh, what is your greatest fear? Is it not that with everything that has happened in your life, and that you are not able to deny, that you still yet fear that sin that will be your ruin. Oh, how many times do you not have to say that the greatest enemy that is not on the outside, but the greatest enemy that is within. Now, what did Paul say? He says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What is it? It is not only the protection of that king, but it is the preservation. The preservation that sin, that I cannot rid myself of, O wretched man that I am still. In the very end, that shall not have dominion. Oh, how is it that he preserves the church in the enjoyment of that salvation? Oh, he brings them time and again in those places where they may enjoy that salvation. Where are they? They are at their wits' end. They are in those places where they fall down, and there is none to help. They are in those places where they must cry unto God in their trouble, and He delivers them out of all their distresses. Oh, that King, He must bring them there time and time again, because that people, they are not seeking those places, no. But that power will be experienced through all the ways of His providence in this life to bring His people time and time again in their utter helplessness, in their utter weakness, as a sinner before God. And there they will sing time and again in this world, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, time and again, here a little and there a little, until the time that they may finally lay all that sin down and enter into that place where that King does abide. And there they shall worship Him, and they shall cast the crowns before Him forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt Thou show Thy power to each and every one of us, that we may experience it in our life? Stop us, O Lord. Stop us in our mad career. Draw us that drawing power that will make us a willing people. Bless Thy word. Give us a humble heart, that Thou hast strengthened us a little for this hour, and wilt Thou give more strength that we may do all our work, if it may please Thee. But Thou art the King. Give us to submit to Thee in everything. Forgive all our sins. Be with us in this week, each one in our place in this world. Help us in our work, the mothers in the homes, the fathers in their labors, the children when there is no school. Wilt Thou watch over and protect each and every one? Give a little meditation upon Thy word of truth, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 422, the sixth stanza. Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. Thy sovereign grace is e'er our fortress and our tower. And what follows in the sixth stanza of Psalter 422.
Thank you.
blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.